Atlantic City. Atlantic City. That's what comes to my mind when I hear these scriptures this morning. Let me explain why. You've heard of Atlantic City? It's on the New Jersey coast. The whole east end of New Jersey, as you know, borders on the Atlantic Ocean. And how many of you have New Jersey or eastern Pennsylvania or Bronx or Staten Island connections? Anybody here? Yeah. So you know that it's called what? The shore. So if you live in New Jersey, the Bronx, Staten Island, or eastern Pennsylvania, you'd go to the shore, going to the shore. Whereas down here in North Carolina, we talk about the beach, going to the same ocean to the beach. If you ever have the opportunity to fly to the northeast into New York, LaGuardia, or to Logan, as you're flying up, you look out the right side of the plane usually, and you see just all of New Jersey is this long, long beach line. A lot of folks that I grew up with went to the shore. When I was in high school, I got to know a lot of friends of mine from the Bronx, and that's where the beach was. That's where you went. I grew up just north of there, so we went to Long Island, Jones Beach, that area, or up into Connecticut, to lakes. The language is important. Is interesting how we refer to things. But Atlantic City was really, for many years, a town on the shore, and it was a boardwalk, and people enjoyed it. Eventually, it became something that we may know now. Its history of some folks have gone to Atlantic City, and sometimes have come back with more money than when they went. But most people would come back with less than perhaps they went there with. I only went to the shore once, and it was to Atlantic City once. And I want to share that experience because it wasn't to do anything with money, and it wasn't necessarily to walk the boardwalk. But it's a memorable experience. It was in the mid-1970s, so this is a long time ago. It actually was before Atlantic City was what we know it for now, actually. During the 1960s and 1970s, there was a lot of, in the church, there was a lot of what was being referred to as renewal. Renewal. Our Book of Common Prayer, the 1979 Book of Common Prayer, is a result of that. 1979, this new prayer book came out. It was a time in the church of great renewal. And one of those areas of renewal was referred to as the charismatic renewal. Did you ever hear that phrase? The charismatic renewal. One of my classmates in the seminary was very much a part of that spirituality of the charismatic renewal. And he invited myself and a few of my other classmates to go on a conference about the charismatic renewal. And it had not been a part of my spirituality, but it interested me, it intrigued me. And the conference was in Atlantic City. So we went to Atlantic City, and this was a conference not of a few dozen people, not of a few hundred people. This was a conference of thousands of people, thousands of people. And I remember being there, and it was a weekend, if my memory serves me right. And during one of the talks, there was an invitation for the whole gathering of a few thousand people to pray. And all of a sudden, this prayer arose that I'd never heard before. It was what's oftentimes referred to as speaking in tongues. It's not words. It's not singing. But it sounds. Almost, this sounds like it's demeaning. I don't mean it that way. It's like a babbling sound. Just sounds that people were making in prayer. And what was incredible was these couple thousand people at least, the whole sound reached this kind of harmony, this kind of sound that was, you could not help but be moved by it. And you said to yourself, something's happening in this room. These weren't six or seven people getting up and doing this, and you could say, oh, they practiced this before. This was a couple thousand people where this, the sense was the Spirit was moving in our midst. Never forget that sound, that hearing this speaking in tongues, as it was called. I'm not sure if any of you have been exposed to that. Very few, perhaps some have. But it was very, very powerful. remember coming back from that conference, and this one classmate of mine I still keep in touch with today. He's a priest in Manhattan, and still very much a part of his spirituality. My spirituality took me in some other directions, but I'll never forget that moment. So when I read this reading this morning from the Acts of the Apostles, well, actually read it earlier in the week to prepare to read it here this morning. When I heard that reading, it's describing Peter, it's the early church, Peter's preaching. And he's gathered with other followers of Christ who've been baptized, and they're preaching. And as he's preaching, what's described is, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. They were astounded that they heard the listeners speaking in tongues. It's the phrase that's used, speaking in tongues. There was this prayer that was happening. And Peter is like astounded by this. Got to be honest, I've never preached and the folks broke into speaking in tongues. So maybe, but for Peter was, what's going on? Because it had been described that they had experienced that after the resurrection, the early disciples, the followers, they experienced that. So Peter hears this. And what's interesting is, listen to the words. It's subtle, but it's powerful. So that the folks are hearing, it says, the circumcised believers, so those were the Jewish Christians who were with Peter, who had come with Peter, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Hear that? Even on the Gentiles. They are like, who are these people that the Spirit has come upon who are not one of us, who are not part of us? And Peter quickly says, let's baptize these folks. Because they sensed in this time of prayer, what I sensed in Atlantic City that time, and what I'm projecting it with Peter, is hearing this prayer, hearing the Spirit working in their midst, and they recognize the working of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, and they want to unite. They want to form community. Notice they don't ask them, well, what do you believe? What's your stand on this issue? What's your stance on that issue? What do you think about this? What do you think? They just opened themselves and accepted these folks into the community because it was beyond words. It was beyond language. It was this sense of the Spirit working in their midst, symbolized to me by this sense of speaking in tongues, that just united them together in relationship. And as a community in relationship, they were then baptized and went forth into the world. And as I always like to say, and 2,000 years later, here we are. The early church had this great sense of being in relationship one with another, that going out into the world, being in relationship, and realizing that the Spirit of God is working in our world. It's not up to us all the time to bring that to the world. Sometimes it's already there, and we need to discover it and find it and work with it and be in relationship with folks. Notice the gospel reading today. What's the greatest commandment that God, Jesus calls us to love one another? Notice the way it's worded here. No one has greater love than this. You would think, if I were to ask you, no one has greater love than this, what we'd say? To love God. To love God. But no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. It's this, the greatest love is this relationship that we enter into. And so, during this season of Easter, what I'm hearing in these readings, particularly today, is the Spirit of God moving the church to be in relationship with folks. expressed by the sense of speaking in tongues, being in relationship, and the gospel reading as well, calling us to lay down our lives for each other, to be in relationship with each other, and to go forth discovering how God is working in our world, in the wonder of this creation, and share this new life that we have to share. So, as we go forward this day, I remember Atlantic City, remembering that moment of a sense of the Spirit moving in our midst. And as we walk through this season of Easter, invite us to be engaged with how the Spirit works in our midst. New possibilities in our midst. New ministries in our midst. New people whose lives we can touch. New discoveries. New possibilities that perhaps we've never experienced before. We're being called by the Spirit of God to be in relationship, to lay down our lives for one another, and lay down our lives for this world that is so in need of that love and that new life.